Morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see everybody's faces. I hope you had a great week this past week. If you are visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, you are truly our honored guests, and thank you so much for blessing us with your presence this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in this morning. If you need to talk to someone, if you have a prayer request, if you just need to ask a question, call a number on your screen and we'd be happy to minister to you, to assist you, to answer any questions that you may have. It's just good to be alive this morning. It's good to be here this morning on the first day of the week to worship our great God in heaven. I want to thank the brothers that have read the scripture, led song, singing, and prayed for us this morning. Brother Terry, thank you for your prayer this morning. Just God is good. This is a good place to pray, isn't it? Yes. When all the saints are together. This is a trying time, even in our country. Terry prayed for those who are in Florida who had such a tragedy. And don't your hearts just melt for things that go on like that. We never know what's going on in people's minds. And we need to be praying for everybody. Yes. Praying for our government, praying for individuals who are struggling with things, praying for those who are struggling with mental illness, those who are families who are dealing with mental illness. Just so much to be thankful. We need to kiss our children every morning, kiss our loved ones every day, and tell people, and we don't have time to waste, not a bit of time to waste. But we can't live in fear because we are the children of God. Amen. And so we don't live in fear when we need to be lights in this world we're living in. I know that. Many of you asked about my daughter had emergency surgery on yesterday. She's had a surgery on her spine, and she's had a rough go of it lately. But God is good, and the surgery went as we believe as well as can be expected, and she's recovering. Not only my daughter. Look at the bulletin. Look at all the individuals in our body. I know Sister Peterson's son had a stroke not long ago, and he's been in rehab. And then her daughter-in-law had brother Robert Porter has gotten transplants. Brother Lee Gibbs. Look on our sick list, and all of the individuals who are suffering or sick in the hospital, and it don't stop. And none of us are exempt. But as we see each other and as we smile. Our brother and sister Rideau's son, Jason Rideau, and others here that have individuals that's in the hospital, but we're in this world, and there's sickness in this world, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. And then look at all the individuals who've lost loved ones in this church. Literally every week we're burying a loved one. Someone dies. And you know what? Someone dies, but guess what? We're going to die also. We don't live lives that's hopeless and that's grim, but we need to live with a sense of urgency, and we need to be taking care of God's business. It's time to rejoice. We need to rejoice because there's going to be some time we're going to cry in this world. The title of my lesson today is the best of both worlds. The best of both worlds. Is it possible for the children of God to experience the best of both worlds? What do you mean, Brother Gary, by best of both worlds? Well, the wisest man besides Jesus penned it this way, and he had a grasp on our existence. He said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 18, Ecclesiastes 5:18. Here is what I've seen to be good and fitting: to eat, to drink, to enjoy oneself in all one's labor, which he toils, notice this phrase, under the sun, during the few years of his life which God has given him, for this is his reward. Solomon, very wise, he says, now you need to enjoy yourself while you're on this earth. And he says, under the sun. See, we have an earthly existence. And he identifies one of them as everything under the sun. It means everything that we do while we own this earth. And he says, the few days. And we do know that we just here a few days. Yeah, I know. Some terminology we hear sometimes as young people, we just don't think that concept. You know, when you're young, you're not thinking about when you get old. But I tell you what, you keep on living. And you and you recognize life is really just a few days. Now, compared to eternity, it's just a blimp. And so Solomon recognizes after he tried everything, you know what, life is just a few days. Yeah, every day we get up, we need to do something with the day that God has given us. And so one world is everything under the sun. But then he also says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7, Ecclesiastes 12, 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. See, there is an earthly existence, but there is also a spiritual existence. This is what distinguishes us from all the animals. God made us in his image after his likeness, and he gave us his spirit. But he's going to claim that spirit one day. So our spirit goes back to be with God who gave it. And so there is an earthly existence, but there is a spiritual existence. And you know what the Bible says in Romans 14, 12? He says, so then each one of us will give an account to God. In other words, we going to answer to what we do in this body on this earth. Our spirit goes back to God. Let me see if I can explain the spirit. Well, let the Bible explain the spirit a little bit more. As Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Everybody's all right this morning, huh? God is good. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Now, he says, now we. Now, this is the part where I extend this invitation because, see, you notice I asked the question, is it possible for the children of God to experience the best of both worlds? Because, see, most of the Bible is written, especially the New Testament, is written to Christians, to individuals who've already made the choice that they are going to follow God and all of his teachings, Christ's teachings. And so when Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, that's not for everybody. You have to be in the we. And I'd like to extend this invitation to anyone right now who is searching, who's not in the... What do you mean, Brother Gary? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 1 says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. So the we are those who are in his church, in his ecclesia. Well, how do you get in the church of God? Listen to what else it says. To those who've been sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Now, you become a saint by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's by simply confessing with all of your heart, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is important. I'm getting to the best of both worlds, but you can't have the best of the spiritual world unless you're in Jesus Christ. And so you have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ from the heart. You have to repent of all of your sins, change your mind about sin. You have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you must be baptized in water for the remission. And that sets you apart and it sanctifies you, and you are now a saint in the spiritual sense. And so if you have not done that, then this next passage I'm reading to you doesn't apply to you just yet, but God is good and God is patient, and God would have you to be in his church, to be sanctified, to be a saint, because you're going to need that in the spiritual existence. Notice this. Go back to the passage in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. And so notice this. It's a small s. Because what do you mean, Brother Gary? But the Spirit, the Spirit who is from God. See, we're made in God's image after God's likeness. All of us, everybody that has ever been born. And there is a, in that sense, we're different from all the animals. But you don't receive the Spirit of God until you obey God. Now, what do you mean, Brother Gary? That means that, see, you say, well, until you not just invite God into your heart, you must obey God. On the day of Pentecost, when the Jews heard the gospel for the first time, they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? He told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission or the forgiveness of all your sins. Notice this, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the only way you get it is you obey God. And so when Paul is writing this letter to the Christians, he says, you've not received the Spirit of the world, although you're a human being, although you're created in God's image, although God is still good, but he says, we, those who've been sanctified, have but the Spirit who is from God. And in the spiritual existence, you need the Spirit of God. Amen, somebody. Yeah, in this world, you got to have God's Spirit, the Spirit in you. She says, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. That's that spiritual existence. And we would say more about that hopefully a little bit later on. And he even says in verse number 9 of the same chapter, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear had not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. In spiritual existence, we really can't fathom what God has prepared for us in the spiritual existence. And so it's difficult to put a grasp or to put a handle on what God wants to give us. But listen to the passage that was read in your hearing by the brother in our scripture reading, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Peter 3, 10. The one who desires life. Anybody desire a good life while you're on this earth? Yeah, yeah. Now, don't be disillusioned. We live in a dark. We live in a world of sin. And I'm not trying to paint a fantasy picture. Now, but because we live in a world of sin, we're going to experience some trials and tribulations. And some of us have already experienced them. Some of us are experiencing some right now. But even in experiencing trials while we on this earth, the question is, can we still have a good life? The child of God, without a doubt. And we're left with guidance in the Bible. He says, the one who desires life. And I don't know about you, but I desire life while I'm here. Yeah, I got enough aches and pains right now, but I don't want to harp on the aches and pains. He says, to love and see good days. And this, listen, notice this. He's talking about life on earth and our spiritual life. Just notice he says, must keep his tongue, and he gives some instruction. He says, now if you desire life, and if you desire to see good days, he gives us some instruction. He says, you must keep his tongue. He gives us some practical instruction. He says, now he's already talking to those who've been sanctified. It also tells, just because you get baptized don't mean your tongue will stop cursing. Amen. Amen. And we know James said the tongue is an unruly thing. It is hard to control the tongue. But guess what? We can control our tongue. We can command our tongue. The scripture says you must keep your tongue from evil. So after you become baptized, after you are sanctified, after you receive the Spirit of Christ, you still have to command your tongue. Yeah, you have to start, you know what I'm saying? All my people, they talk like that. Well, you need to stop. Yeah. Amen. You need to stop excusing yourself from saying everything that come to your mind. Amen, somebody. Now, that means the sanctified saint needs to do that. He said this is must keep his tongue and his lips from speaking deceit or from lying all the time. And so now we're talking about the best of best of best of. Now this is life. This is life while we on earth. It says, why are you on earth? This is in there. If you want to see, if you want to desire life, you want to see good days, he says, control your mouth. And that's so practical. Because sometimes we just say whatever. And you say, and even after we say it, we'll say the word, whatever. Notice this, as if there are no consequences, as if there are no the demands, things that happen because we said something. When we say something, it affects people, it affects the environment, it affects the situation, it affects our home, just the way we talk. Now that's as practical as it gets. Now, Brooke, I want something to come out the sky and show me. Keep your tongue. Yeah, he goes on to say in verse 11, he must turn away from evil. Yeah. And we make a lot of excuses about evil. And now, you know, I mean, evil is anything that transgresses against God's will. Evil is any kind of sin. Evil is anything that would displease God. And it says simply you must turn away from evil. Evil. And that means that you control how you respond, our actions. And you know, I notice little children are something else. They are something else. And as a grandfather, I'm getting another double take on watching children even closer. You know, you watch your children, you raise your children. Now I'm watching the grandchildren. And you know what? There's foolishness in some little children. You have to train little children. They play together, and they will bite each other. They take things. They are selfish. And if you don't teach them, they'll grow up to be big selfish people. Amen, somebody. Listen, church. When we see evil, if evil is in our home, we need to address that evil. And no, we need to turn our children. We need to turn away from doing that which is evil in God's eyesight. Notice this. Yeah, and he said, if you want to desire life, if you want to see good days, you got to do something about some of this stuff. Yeah, and you know, and it just don't happen on its own. Yeah, I said, because if you want your children to grow up and be grateful, if you want your children to be thankful, then you better teach them gratitude, amen, somebody. When you give them something and they just take it and just open it and just do what they want to do, and you don't teach them to say thank you, they will grow up being ungrateful, expecting things from people, running over everybody. So I tell my grandfather, I give them a piece of candy, and they open the candy. I say, wait a minute, what you going to say? And they look at you big eyed. And I said, give it back. What you gonna say? I got one of them and she's stubborn. And don't like to say nothing. I said, what you gonna say to Big Daddy? Did she look at you? And she be trying to, I said, give it back. I said, what you gonna say? What you gonna say? All you got to do is say thank you. She look at me and still won't say thank you. I said, give it back. She gonna cry, Mama. I said, you not getting it, Mama. I said, all you got to do is say it. And she's still stubborn. And finally, I said, you don't want to give it back. Thank you. I'm not exaggerating. Because there are too many of us that's older, too many teenagers who we've allowed evil. We've allowed evil habits to go on uncensored and attacked, unaddressed, and they grow up to be evil. You know, we got to stop making excuses for evil. As grown men in our own house, we need to stop being so mean. Learn how to speak with love in our homes if you want life, if you want to see good days. Yes, you don't have to listen to the, you can control what you do in your own house to bring good days, good, the best of this in your house today. And he says, Paul gives his practical. He says, you must away from me and do good. And you know, the scripture says, when it says do good, it doesn't give you all the examples of what good is. But you know, as a human, Jesus put it this way. He says, that which you would others, men do unto you, do ye also likewise unto them. Just think about what you want done to you. Do you want to be served? Do you want people to speak kind to you? Speak kind to them. Yes. Do you want to be appreciated? Well, you appreciate somebody else. Well, again, say thank you. Say I love you. Do good deeds. Buy gifts for your wife. Buy gifts for your husband. Buy gifts for. Well, again, it ain't all about buying. Them. Sometime it is. You can do something. Notice this. He says, do action good. Something you have to initiate yourself. Amen, somebody. Yeah, pick up the plate. Sweep the floor. Cut the grass. Put gas in the car. Take somebody to work. Pick them up. Yes. There are many deeds that we can do that will bring life into our worlds. And he says, do it. Yeah, flee from that which is evil. He says he must speak peace and pursue it. Listen, peace is something, boy. Look here, I tell you what, when you get older, you're going to want some peace. Now, listen, you want peace as a young person. Notice this, but guess what? Peace, you must pursue it. Yeah, you must seek it. You have to think, let's calm ourselves. Some of us just need to calm down. Stop arguing so much. Stop arguing about everything. We argue about everything. You know, we argue about everything. We argue about breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah, you know, things are not right. You know, my wife and I, last week, you know, we've been talking about cleaning up our closet and my doing some other things in the house. You know, it's, you walk in the house is nasty. We don't have a maid, and I'm going to sit down a minute. But you know what? The house can make you mad. Now, but you can create your atmosphere in your own house. You have control of that. You know what? And you know what? We can fuss about it. You know, we can fuss about it. And sometimes that's what I used to do. I'd come in the house, and I said, you know, and I sound like my dad. I'd come in there, well, my daddy used to sound. When I was coming up, he'd come in the house sometime. He'd come in there, he'd say, you know what, this just don't make no sense. He would come in, he'd say, what's going on around here? And you know, we look and we wouldn't say nothing, you know, because we didn't want to do nothing. And he would put us on pins and needles, but now he would get something done. And I do that. I still do it every now and then, but in my house, sometimes I get mad. And I know I've been working. My wife's been working. My wife works just as hard as I do. She does. But sometimes I get mad because I just don't like what's going on in the house. You know what? You just start fussing. And you put everybody on edge in your house. And sometimes I think we do it because we the man. And we think, you know what? I'm sick of this. And we just as mean. Some of us need to hear this morning. Because you know what? Our house is just... It's not the atmosphere for the Spirit of God to be in. You know what? We need to pursue peace in our house. So I got up and I started on the closet. Started taking out clothes, and I didn't say nothing to my wife. I just started cleaning up. Well, yeah, you. I looked around. My wife got up. She said, "What you doing?" She said, "I'm gonna need to get some of these clothes out here. I'm finna throw some clothes away." And she's okay. And I looked up. She started cleaning up. You know what? We had a clean up day. It was just as peaceful. I wasn't fussing. Praise the Lord. And we cleaned up all day, literally. Bags of clothes, we gave clothes, brought clothes to the church, and cleaned other trash and things we did. And we cleaned up. And at the end of the day, you know what my wife said to me? She said, "Thank you. This was good, wasn't it?" That's what she said. I wasn't expecting her to say it. I was tired, matter of fact. But you know what? But one thing the most thing I remember about it was peace. See, listen, we getting too old. Life is too short. No, there is something. See, there is something we can do. We control ourselves. While we are, I understand you. He says, pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Amen. And we trying to figure out, God notices, sisters, somebody need this encouragement. God knows when you're doing what's right. And you know, sometimes we get discouraged. I'm glad you saying it. I hope my wife is listening. God know who's doing. Notice this, what's right. And I say that because sometimes, even when you're doing right, somebody not going to come around. Somebody's not. That's what we're going to do. You don't know that. Somebody still might not respond. Depending on where they are, you might go home and your wife still mean. But sister, you better watch out. You better stop being so mean, because guess what? God's eyes. This says he's toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those. That's our salvation, is we got to do right because God is watching us, not because our husband or wife is watching us. Yeah, what's in the sight of the Lord? Notice this now. Now, we're talking about the best of both worlds, but while we're here on earth, we need to control the things that we control as children of God. Now, this is going to be heavy lifting right here, and it'll probably take to me time to stop to do this. This is heavy lifting. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. He says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, this is, I hope you can receive this. Because see, most of us spend a lot of time while we're under the sun now, trying to figure out our life, trying to save our life. See, saving our life, it looks like. See, it's become almost obsessive. It's a selfish, endless pursuit of trying to please ourselves, or trying to figure out what I need and it's all about me, myself, and I. Everything we do is geared toward trying to have a better life for me, for us, for me. What am I going to do? And many of us often in this life, when we're trying, and I'm not saying, God is not saying for us not to work, because the scriptures say that a man don't work, don't eat. He says, even when you're doing something, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. God wants you to do your best at whatever you are doing. But notice this. In an effort to try to, this obsessive, selfish desire to please ourselves, you know, some people use the phrase, I need to find myself. I'm trying to find. What you're trying to find is your value. You're trying to find your purpose in life. And some people were traveling. So I need to travel. I want to travel. I want to see the world. Well, what you want to see? Now, you do know you can't see the whole world, don't you? I mean, I do. I like to travel, and there's some places we want to see. Some people try education. You know, we educate ourselves, and we're reading book after book, and we're trying to learn this and learn that, and that's good. You know what the writer of Ecclesiastes said in Ecclesiastes 12:12. But beyond this, my son, be warned: the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. Yeah, you smart, and we try education, and we try all of these things. We indulge in things for that pleasures that bring us pleasure, because we're trying to find this fulfillment. We're trying to save our lives. We are trying to experience life at its fullest. We take sabbaticals, and we still trying to figure it out. And Jesus says, now, you're trying to save your life, you're going to lose it. And it's true, because in this pursuit, it seems like it just never ends, does it? Even when we accomplish some things, something lacking at the end. Something empty, and we get bored, and we find out that what we're pursuing is not what we thought it was. And if you're still not happy, and we're still not being fulfilled. But Gary, what's going to fulfill me? Jesus asked the question. And Jesus answered the question in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 11. He says, you know what? You want value? He said, the greatest among you shall be your servant. He said, why are you on this life? Why are you down here? He says, you want to see, we all want to know our value, our purpose. Jesus says, the greatest person among you is the person who realizes the value of service. Why are we here on earth? And yes, we're pursuing. Yes, we want to accomplish things. And I just say, you know, one of the things, you know, think about this. There are some people who have more money than they will ever spend, but they are still very, very unhappy. They still have not fulfilled themselves in the way that they feel like they need to. And for us as Christians, I believe when we use what God has given us, when we use the gifts that God has given us in a way that God meant for us to use them, and that is in service with one another, is when we will be most fulfilled on this earth. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. He put it this way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. He said, as each one has received a special gift, he says, employ it, or put it to work in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What are you saying? He says that everybody in here has this beautiful gift that God has given us. Everyone has it. And then he says, whoever speaks is to do so as the one who's speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as the one who's serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So while we're here, we need to understand and know that God has given us something. All of us, he's given us something. He's given us a beautiful gift, a great, and it's a gift that comes from God. And God is saying to us, while you're here, he says, use your gift to minister to others. Now, your gift might be used to help you make a living. It might be used to bring honor and glory to you, he says, but that's not you, because see, you become selfish when you start to think that you all that. Because none of us are really all that, are we? Yeah, you can run fast, but God gave you that ability to run fast. And what you're going to do what you're being able to run fast? You may be able to hit a volleyball because you have this great talent and ability, and you hitting the volleyball, and you know, volleyball, you look at it in the paper the next day, and you got their name is in the paper, and they talking about you, and you can play volleyball, you good, and they talking about you. Oh, that's wonderful. But that's not what God put you here. And guess what? That is good, but guess the next week when you don't play good, they'll put you in the paper also. And just like folk praise you, they will talk about you. What you gonna do then? And see, a lot of the value that we seek is so temporary. But when we learn how to use what God has given us, while you on the volleyball team and you have teammates, and they give you all the credit and say you so good and this and that, and you just stay as humble as you can, and you minister to them and say, you know what, God is good. You see, I work hard, but God is the reason why I'm the way I am. God, give God all the glory to the way I am. That's why, you know what, I'm going to try to do right. I'm going to try to act right. See, what you're doing is giving glory to God and not yourself. And you know, there's a great fulfillment in serving other people. Some of you that are teachers in here right now, you say, but Gary, my gift is teaching. And I, you know, I'm a teacher and I love teaching. That's your gift. And you know what? No, we're trying to get fulfillment. We're trying to get back. Your greatest value, the best you feel is when you are teaching, when you're helping a child to be able to do a problem, to figure out a problem. When you're helping a young man to be able to write that could not write, and you get great joy because you're using your gift and you're helping somebody else, and you are quick to say, you know what? It's all by the grace of God. And you value that and you feel good about yourself, even if you don't get a paycheck for it. A church that is pleasing to God is a church that learns how to tap into the gifts of all of the members in that body and being able to equip them to go out and serve God in a way that brings glory and honor to that church. Amen, somebody. That's a beautiful church that's able, the leaders are able to have programs that people that's in the body can use their gifts to the glory and honor of God. That's not a fighting church. That's not a cursing church. That's a church that's busy about bringing notices. He says if you save your life, you'll lose. That means if you spend all your energy and all your time on trying to pursue just your selfish needs and praise for yourself, you're going to run into a brick wall. You might be doing good one day. LeBron James is the greatest, they say, the greatest basketball player that ever lived, but he can mess up in a game and he'd be the worst basketball player. They can praise him, but then they can talk about it. And they would do the same thing to us if we live that selfish existence that we're trying to pursue happiness just for ourselves. And the best in this life is when we learn how to use our gifts. Notice this. He says, if you save your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life, and God is simply saying to us, you lose your life. If you lose this selfish desire to be about me, myself, and I, for my sake. That's the key to it. So you got to do it for Christ's sake, not for your sake. Because see, even some folk in the church, even some religious folk who have gifts and who are able to talk and who are able to teach, they're not doing it for Christ's sake. They're doing it for their sakes. Because they want the praise of men. And if you are after the praise of men, you're going to lose your life. But if you do it for my sake, you're doing it to glorify God and for God to get all the glory, simply because you understand that's where the gift comes from anyway. If you're able to sing, you might practice and you might work, but if you're able, some folk can practice all day long and still can't sing. And so we're trying to find some fulfillment. We're trying to find our purpose in life. And let me say this also while I'm here. Let me say this also. See, some of us, we're waiting on the church leaders to put us in a position where we can use our gifts. And I understand, and that's what church leaders ought to be able to do or try to do, to equip the saints. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip the saints for works of service. So it is our job to design the church in a way that the members can be involved and use their gifts. But don't you just wait on the church leaders, because sometimes they don't have the gift to organize and do things. So you don't have to wait on Brother Gary. You don't have to wait on the elders. If you have the gift of writing and you can write and you are a great writer and you love to write, but all you're writing is fantasy novels and things that don't matter that much, but you're good at writing. Why don't you write for the sake of Christ? Why don't you write something that's uplifting to somebody? Why don't you write something not to make necessarily money for yourself that will bring glory and honor to God? Using your gift. And I tell you what, you want to have a great feeling, if you will. If you want to have the great a great sense of value. The Bible is telling us how to do it. You use your gifts. You are losing your life. You're losing the priority on me, myself, and I, and all about me, and you're putting it on the kingdom's sake. The passage we read all the time in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all this will be a beautiful church. Yeah, you're not waiting on necessarily the church leaders to do it, and you have the gift of writing, or you have the gift of ministry. You don't have to put it in the bulletin that you're sending cards to people. You say, Brother Gary, I can sing. Go sing to somebody. Go lift up your voice and lift up some children that's in the hospital. But you just make sure you give the glory and honor to our great God in heaven. It's what we need to do. And notice as the scripture said, Jesus says, seek ye first. And that means that you have to look for ways to serve with your. We're talking about making the best of our life while we're on earth. We're talking about the type of fulfillment that does not come with a paycheck. But guess what? If you lose your life for the sake of Christ, the Bible says he will add these things unto you. God will give you a paycheck. A paycheck that's better than money. Sometime it might be money. Sometime it might be a blessing for your family, for your children, for your home. Blessings come in all kinds of ways as we live under the sun on this earth. Things that we can control. And so we need to look for ways every single day to use our gifts and our talents to bring glory and honor to our great God. We need to look for ways that we can bring glory to God and praise for God for the kingdom's sake. Yes, we need to use our education, notice this, for the kingdom's sake. Amen, somebody. Even in the body of Christ right now, we have individuals who are holding back right now. Individuals who are qualified, who can do things, who can teach, who are not using their gifts. But you go out in the secular world and you see their names on buildings. You see their names on plaques. You see their names on doors. And they're using all of these abilities to for their own glory. And you're seeking all of the praise. Are you passive about it? Are you passive about it because you're only concerned your world has gotten so small and you're trying to save your life and your children and your family? Be careful. Because you're saving yourself. You watch out, you'll lose it. And Jesus says, if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. We use our athletic ability. You need to use it for the kingdom's sake. Amen, somebody. You need to use your athletic ability for the kingdom's sake. Hopefully some of you young men or some of you young women, your own teams, live a life that glorifies God. Be an example to your teammates. Be an example to them. When they praise you, say, you know what? It's all by the grace of God. Let them see you pray before you do something. Invite them to something that is going to bring glory to God and bring spiritual knowledge to them. Your athleticism. Yes, see, people praise you when you're a great athlete, but it gives you the platform to have influence. Folks, listen, there are individuals who are good in sports, and people praise them, and all you have to do is ask them, I said, won't you come go to church with me? And they'll come just because you asked them. Now, they may come for the wrong reason so they can be your friend, but they need to hear about God anyway. Amen, somebody. Yeah, serve God with your voice for the kingdom's sake. Serve God with your money for the kingdom's sake. Yeah, don't spend all your money on you and your family, and your kids, and your needs. You got three houses. What you gonna do with three houses? Yeah, and the kingdom needs things that's going to glorify God's kingdom and build up the kingdom. Bro, Gary, everybody have different gifts. I mean, if the shoe fits, wear it. Praise God. Listen, simply with your presence. I don't have any money. praise God, with your presence. We're talking the best. See, listen, everybody in here not going to be rich. Most of us won't be rich. You say, "Brother, I don't know what my talent is." You can pray. You can use your presence to encourage folk for the kingdom's sake. Amen, somebody. None of us should ever say there is not anything we cannot do for God. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Some of us, we have our healthy bodies. Get up and do something. Serve somebody. Cook something. Move a table for the kingdom's sake. And when you leave, when you walk out, when you go home, when you lay down on your pillow, you will sleep well at night. Because God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. Yes, you won't be nervous. You won't have to take pills because you are used. You know you are valuable in God's eyesight. And while we're on this earth, we can have the best of this world by controlling our tongue, by watching what we say, by stop being so mean and lying and tricking folks, and by pursuing what's peaceful, what's right. We need to do that every single day while we're under the sun. And guess what the Bible says? It's going to bring us life while we're on earth. It's going to bring us good days that God going to bless us. He'll bless our children. He'll bless our health. He'll bless our lives. Amen. If we give it all to God while we're under the sun. Now, I haven't gotten to the other world yet. So I have to do that at another time. But you're here today and you're not a child of God. I don't know. I want the good life. I do. I wish it all could be good while we're here. I need to get to the spiritual world. Because, see, it fills the gap. And it helps us. Because somebody in here right now, you're going through some trials. And we can't escape the trials. But you know what? We're studying the book of James on Wednesday night. But even in our trials, when you are in Christ Jesus, the scriptures say, count it all joy. Yes, sir. Yes. And see, you can only do that if you're a Christian, when you're going through some trials. Because see, what trials represent is that you're really on the right track. See, you're on the team, and you're going to experience some trials. But when you go through some trials, know that you, see, you know, I told the illustration of the class on Wednesday night, that, you know, and some of us, we put applications in for schools and we get an application that says, you've been accepted at this particular college. It feels so good. You've been accepted or you've been awarded this and you own the team. Now you own the team. Now, I got my, when I was going to school, when I recruited me, I got this letter showing me how much my scholarship was worth. And I was just as happy as I could be. Thank you, brother. I was happy as I could be. I said, thank you, Lord. But you know what? You get happy for a minute. And then my brother went to school with me also, and he told me, he said, now, Gary, he said, now, he said, the first day of practice, we have a test day. Some of you, I've told you this before. We have a test day. He said, and that test is to run people off. Those that don't want to be here, he said, they try to run you off. And a lot of guys quit. And he started telling me intimately what the test was. And I said, you serious? Notice this. And I went through that trial. Now, I'm on the team, and I went through the trial, and I was going, we're going through this test day, and it almost killed me. And it seemed like it did kill some others. But you're going through the test. Now, you're on the team. You go through the test. The test's not going to kill you, but you know you got to go through the test. Notice this. We're in the world. The promise has been given to us. We're in a world of sin. Sin is the problem. Adam and Eve brought it into the world, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is a price for sin. There's a price when you sin and when I sin. So we can't avoid the price of sin. We're going to go through some trials, church, but just knowing that if I stay on the team, if I go through this trial, at the end of this trial is the prize. Now, suppose there wasn't no prize. Suppose you're going through life, all the troubles, all the anxiety you're experiencing, and there is no hope. That's a bad life. But those of us that's going through trials right now, just hold on. And it's going to be all right. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You need to be. Because in Christ are all our blessings. I extend an invitation once to you. And if you're here and you're willing to repent of all of your sins and turn them over to God and turn to God to confess Christ with all of your heart, with your mouth, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins, you are now in Christ Jesus. And now most of us in here right now, we're on a journey. That's why I spent most of my time this morning, because I understand what's going on in my life, and I'm sure it's going on in your life. But we're on a journey, but sometimes this journey gets troublesome. It gets wearisome. But we can have a good life while we on earth as children of God. And I love going home to peace, don't you? Notice this, you control that. You control what happens in your home by the way you talk and the way you act. And so we can have a good life while on, and it helps us to make it through some of these trials that we're going. You're here today and you need to be a child of God. Won't you come to Jesus? If you're here and you need prayer, won't you come to Jesus? If you're here and you need to get something right, won't you come to the Lord right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Yield not to temptation, for it